Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Begins in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, as we continue to read in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read where God spoke and things happened. For instance, on the first day, the Lord said, "Let there be light." Well, there was light. And He divided the light from the darkness. He made the distinction between day and night. And then it is said in verse 5, "The evening and the morning were the first day." Then we go on to read how that God said, "Let there be firmament." Well, the firmament came into existence. And we read on down where the evening and the morning were the second day. Then we read of things that God said were to appear on the third day, and there was the evening and the morning of the third day. And so on with the fourth day and with the fifth day. Then on the sixth day, He created the cattle of the field, and on the sixth day, He created mankind. And the Scripture says that God saw the things that He had created, and it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And we go into chapter 2, and we find a more detailed account given as to the creation of the human family, the creation of man, with particular emphasis upon the creation of woman. And it says, "On the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day all His work which He had made." Now, the question we're discussing this morning is, how long were the days of which we read here in the book of Genesis about the creation of our world and the things that are in it? The word day is translated from the Hebrew word. The Old Testament, for the most part, was written by the Holy Spirit through the writers in Hebrew. The New Testament in Greek, the Old Testament in Hebrew. The word that's translated day is a little three-letter word, yom, Y-O-M. Now, as one reads that word, yom, as we use the word day, even in our own conversation, it has different meanings. Sometimes we speak of day as the opposite of night. Day, light, night being darkness. We use it that way, don't we? The Scripture talks about the last days. There it speaks of dispensations. It's talking about the dispensation of Christ being the last days. Sometimes the word day is used to refer to long, indefinite periods of time, eons, epochs, just extended over vast areas. The day word day sometimes is used like that. Sometimes the word day is used with a more specific era, but a long period of time. In other words, we talk about it that way. We live in the day of the nuclear bomb. There was the day of the steam locomotive and the horse and buggy. Well, we know that that refers to a specific period of time. And obviously, we're all aware that the word day is often used to refer to a 24-hour period. And our day, calendar day, solar day it's called, it's the time that it takes for, as the earth goes around the sun, the time it takes for it to go around, it's going around this way, almost as round and round as some of us, just always going in circles. Well, the world is going in circles all the time. And in the 24-hour day, our calendar day begins at 12 midnight and goes around until 12 midnight. Now, the day in Genesis, how long does this refer? To what does this refer? How long was the day of Genesis? Well, you might be inclined to ask, well, why ask a question like that? Why is that important? What difference does it make? What difference does it make whether God did all of this in Malite, or that He did it in a 24-hour period, or that He did it in an era, or that He did it over billions of years? What difference does it make, some people ask? Well, I want to tell you why it makes a difference. Is the Bible true? Or is the Bible the writing of man and his fantasy? Is it just a myth? Is it just a fable? Is it just a figurative record? Is it just poetic language? Or, when it says that God did this in a day, is that actual? Is that historical? Is that a literal account? Now, it makes a difference, because it has a bearing on the integrity, the correctness, the validity, the reliability, the very inspiration of the Scripture itself. If the Scripture does not teach the truth, we need to know it, and then we can just cast it out. Another piece of literature, but not the Word of God. But if it teaches what it says it teaches, that makes a difference also. Now, the traditional view that men have held concerning the length of day of Genesis is that it was a 24-hour solar day. That's what most people have thought down through the ages of the study of the Bible. But that view has of late been challenged. Some say the word day is just a figurative expression. Some say it's just poetic. Some say it makes no difference that all Genesis 1 and 2 are trying to tell us is not how long it took God, or that God took to do this, or what God did. All it is saying is God did it. Well, friend, if that's all that's necessary, that could have been done in three words. You wouldn't have needed two chapters. If it doesn't matter about any of these things, why did the Holy Spirit reveal these sort of things as to how things came into being? If all it's trying to tell us is God did it and nothing else matters, why didn't He just say God did it and forget it? Obviously, it's more involved than just simply saying God did it. Could have done that in three words. Now, friend, there is nothing in the context of the language itself that warrants challenging the idea that the day of Genesis is anything other than a 24-hour day. There's nothing in the language that demands that it be anything other than a 24-hour day. Well, why would there be those who say, well, it was longer periods of time? The long days, if you refer to it in that fashion, is really the wish of skeptics. They would like to have it that way. I'll tell you why. To think that the day is anything other than a 24-hour day is not demanded by the language. It's not demanded by the context. It is not demanded by anything else that's found in the Bible. And it is not demanded by scientific evidence anywhere. Well, why do people want to make it anything other than just as you read it, the 24-hour day? Well, here's one reason. If God did certain things as He did, make the firmament or create the cattle and mankind and so forth, in a 24-hour period, that would have been miraculous. That's not the natural way things come into being. And you've got to keep in mind that there are many people who come to study the Bible already with the predetermined conclusion that there is and never has been any such thing as the miraculous. They immediately approach the Bible denying that there is anything ever anywhere that was miraculous. Therefore, when they read the chapters of 1 and 2 in Genesis, they have to deny the miraculous to be consistent with their view, but they can't hold to that view unless they extend that day beyond a 24-hour period. cause all of the earth and all of the grass and everything else to come into being any other way? Why, it had to be miraculous if it came within a 24-hour period. So they deny the miraculous. That's why they want to make these days to be something longer than the day. For others to admit that this record here is true would be an affirmation, an admission that God exists. And let's face it, there are a lot of people that deny that God even exists in spite of all the evidence that God has given us in our universe. They deny that God exists. Therefore, they deny that this was some power that was greater than man. They believe that these things happened only by a naturalistic process, and they prefer atheism. And why do people prefer atheism? Because they don't want authority over them. If you have authority over you, then you must conform to that authority. And when you're of the disposition that you want to do your own thing and go your own way and be as you jolly well get ready, you don't want authority over you. That's why some youngsters are off and leave home. They don't want authority over them. They want to live their own life their own way. There are just a lot of people who don't like the fact that God is, because God is authority, and they don't want to have to conform to authority, because what He commands them by authority they don't like and they don't want. Therefore, the best way to get rid of it, just say God isn't. Therefore, when they read the book of Genesis, they can't accept anything in there that it says because that would affirm the existence of God. Also, people try to change the meaning of the word day in Genesis chapter 1 because that would give the Bible credibility. And that's the last thing some people are willing to do. Folks, if we'll just listen to what's going on in our world today, the last thing people want to listen to, at least most people, is what God has to say about a thing. You take this issue of homosexuality. The last thing people want is what God has said. You take the matter of fornication. The last thing anybody wants to conform to as to how God condemns that. You take the matter of in-race relations. The last thing people want to understand is that God will save any and all. They don't want the solution of God. You talk about all this teenage pregnancy, which is quite apparent. The last solution anybody wants to teach is what God has said. Purity. Chastity. They don't want that. They don't want to give the Bible credibility. They want to move God off the throne and put themselves there, or someone that they esteem to be wise in our world, and therefore they can't give credibility to what the Bible says about this. And to admit that the day is a 24-hour period was literal and actual and historical would be a contradiction of the theory of organic evolution. Now, it's not my purpose to go into a discussion of organic evolution other than to simply say this, as you well know. The idea and the doctrine that things have evolved to come to be as they are demands long, 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 plus long periods of time. Indefinite periods. A billion years is nothing to an evolutionist. I mean, whether it's 1 billion or 2 billion or 5 billion, what's a few billion among friends? And evolution demands all of this. And therefore, they can't have this thing happening in a 24-hour period. But I do want to say this about evolution as we just go by. Evolution is not only anti-biblical. Evolution is anti-scientific. Friend, it contradicts what has been repeatedly proven. Evolution is nothing in the world but a skeptical, theoretical philosophy. But it is being taught as if it were a proven fact. It's propagated over television. It's put out in the magazines. It's brought out in National Geographic. Time magazine has always got it. Everywhere you turn, in your schools, your textbooks, it's all put out. This is the way it was, and it's a lie. It's a sophisticated academic lie. It contradicts the things that scientists have proven over and over again. It's not only anti-God, it is not only the basis of humanism, it's against even the things that we can observe. So much for evolution. How long is the day is of consequence to the theory of evolution? It's not because man can't understand what Genesis 1 says. It's because people just simply reject what Genesis 1 says. But now, follow me closely. There are people who want to come up with some kind of compromise. Compromise between evolution and the Bible. And those who want to do that are called theistic evolutionist. Now, an atheistic evolutionist, he denies God. He doesn't believe in God at all. The atheistic evolutionist couldn't care how long the day is because he couldn't care what the Bible says about anything. But that there are those who want to believe in God and who like to hold to certain parts of the Bible, and therefore they have tried to come out and work out some way of compromise between the theory of evolution and the Bible. And they're called theistic meaning God, theistic evolution. And friends, a compromise is absolutely impossible. And we'll show it's impossible. But theistic evolutionists are the only ones who really care about how the making the day a long period of time. Atheists don't care. Theistic evolutionists are the ones that care. I want to tell you in the next few minutes a few reasons, irrefutable reasons, any one of which would be sustainable, reasons for believing the 24-hour day of Genesis 1, that it's literal, actual, and historical. And before I go into the reasons, I would just like to toss out, if God wanted to tell us that He did it in a day, I wonder what language He would have used. How could He said it any plainer than the fact that this was the evening and the morning of the first day? And I want to note that it was an evening and morning in each day. There was light and there was darkness in each day. And every time in the Bible it speaks of a day with evening and morning, it always refers to a solar day. That is a 24-hour period day. Now just here, let's suppose for a moment that the day of Genesis 1 was these long periods of time that evolutionists tell us that they were. You're going to run into some botanical problems, some problems of growth, problems of botany. Why, dear friend, if those long periods of time were composed of evening and morning, of light and darkness, and those periods were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years, what would have happened to all the vegetation that was created during those long thousands of years of darkness? They could not have survived. Life could not have survived. They would have perished. Well, I even hear some people that are into the tree growing business and other things like that. We get sometimes during growing seasons to get a couple of weeks of cloudy days. They said, boy, it's hurting my crop. What's a couple of weeks of cloudy days when you're talking about thousands of years of darkness? And if you're going to have it long periods of time, like the evolutionists say it is, why, you're going to kill off everything, animal and vegetable, during those long periods of time. They couldn't survive. They've got a problem there. And it's a problem that cannot be solved. The most powerful argument that there is that Genesis 1 and 2 are literal and actual and historical is because that was the attitude that Jesus Christ had toward it. Now, if Jesus was wrong, how could he claim to be infallible? How could he claim to be the Son of God? In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus taught concerning marriage, how that God made them male and female. He pointed back to this institution as it was from the beginning. And there's no way to read those words and those phrases of Christ without concluding that Christ accepted what Genesis 1 and 2 had to say about the report there, in particular the report of man and woman, and the report there concerning the establishment of marriage, without recognizing Jesus accepted and taught that this was a literal, actual, historical account of what took place. And if he thought that, and he was the infallible Son of God, then I know that's the way it is. I don't care whatever argument else you can come up with, that settles it right there. What did Jesus think about it? And furthermore, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans had the Holy Spirit guided him to talk about Adam and the sin coming into the world. He looked upon it as an actual, literal, historical account. That's the way it was. It wasn't a fable, it wasn't a myth, it wasn't a maybe-so. Now hear me here, close, I want you to hear this, and I want you young people to listen to it, because you're going to run into this. In fact, you're already running into it if you're very far advanced in your schools. There be those that say, oh, but Jesus just accommodated the people, that most of the people had this idea, and Jesus just used and taught in a fashion, taking what they thought and used that to say what he wanted to say. You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ was willing to accommodate what was false? Do you mean that Jesus would place his stamp of approval upon something as if it were historical when it was not? Why would that not be a lie? Do you mean that Jesus would do evil, that good might come? The very thing that the Holy Spirit told Paul to condemn people for doing? No, Jesus didn't accommodate people's ignorance. Jesus taught them truth that they might come out of ignorance. And our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, had the right view of this passage of Scripture. Let's look again. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 begins, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, or thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now this was a part of the Mosaic law, to remember the Sabbath day. Please note, well, let me read you another passage of Scripture before I have you to note. Here again Moses said, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." Notice, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Take note of this. Every single solitary time in the language of Hebrew, when there is a number associated with the word day, it always refers to a 24-hour day. Now that's just a part of the language. I think the Holy Spirit knew what he was saying when he used the language. When it says, first day, third day, sixth day. It always refers to a 24-hour day. What does the Holy Spirit say as to how long God took to do what He did? 6 days. That's day associated with the numeral. Now you're going to have to rewrite the book. You're going to have to re-script Hebrew. You're going to have to redefine the terms that are being used to get anything other than a 24-hour day out of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And there's another little thing, and I thought of this all by myself. I just delight in finding inconsistencies in false doctrines. I just think when people shoot themselves in the foot, why, it shows the fallacy of what they're talking about. For a long time, skeptics used to laugh, and they still do, laugh at when the Bible talks about the long age of men, of which you read in the pre-flood days and even some thereafter. They laugh about Methuselah living 969 years. And they laugh about the age of Noah, and they laugh about all of these sort of ages. And they'll say that Methuselah say he lives 969 years. Well, I want to ask them. Now, the atheist doesn't care, but the theistic evolutionist does. I want to ask if a day means a whopping big number of innumerable years, how long would a year be? Here you are laughing at old Methuselah for living 969 years. Now you multiply that by about 500 to 750,000 times, according to your theory. If a day is a half a million years, how long was old Methuselah anyway? Now, if you can't see that, I'll do like my father-in-law used to say, you get to heaven through fool's hole. That's so easy to see the inconsistency. I'll tell you, brethren, when people begin to array themselves against the Word of God and try to explain their theories and to harmonize truth with error, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot every time. And you don't have to be a wise man or a PhD or a theologian or a college professor or a clergyman to be able to see it. You just got to have the ability to read in good common Tennessee walking horse sense and you can see it. There is no evidence anywhere in any area of man's knowledge that necessitates anything other than what God has said in Genesis 1. I want you to notice something else. Thought of this one too. After these things were created, God said it was good. Now, evolutionists say that over these long periods of time, there was life and death and life and death, and there were the volcanoes and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and all these different naturalistic things taking place. Who in their right mind is going to say death with all of its decay and the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the volcanoes and all that is good? All of that came after the creation. All of that was a result of havoc. But God said after He created things, it was good. And therefore, I know that it wasn't these long eons of time that evolutionists like to make. Now, friend, if it took God billions of years to create the world and that which is therein, why did He say He did it in 6 days and to say it in language that always demands 6 days? Well, the fact is that He did it in 6 days. The fact is that Genesis chapter 1 refers to literal, historical, actual, 24-hour solar days. Any other idea repudiates the Bible. But you got to remember, there are always those who would like for the Bible to bow down to the latest edicts of experts and scientists and skeptics. Through the years, various theories of concoction have been raised about how things came into being. And people have always tried to somewhere or another take the Bible, if they want to take the Bible at all, and make it fit. Well, after a while, they find out that theory is all wrong. It's got to come up at the end. They'll take the Bible and try to make it fit that. Then after a while, scientists, when they're discoveries and learning, find out that's all wrong, and then they take the Bible and try to make it fit there. Wow, people are always trying to take the Bible that does not change and always make it fit to the ever-changing ideas and of the wisdom of men. Why not try to interpret the wisdom of men according to the unchanging Word of God? That's the way it ought to be. We have no reason to question or doubt what the Bible says. Let me say in closing, there is no reason. The Christian must assume the Bible to say anything other than a 24-hour day. There is not one proven, substantiated, observable, demonstrable scientific fact that a person has to deny in order to accept the literal, actual, historical account of the book of Genesis in creation that it refers to a 24-hour day. Not one single solitary thing you have to repudiate. Now, you'll have to repudiate some theories and some ideas, but nothing that is factual. This closing paragraph, the language of the text is simple and clear. Honest exegetists cannot read anything else out of these verses than a day of 24 hours and a week of 7 days. There is not the slightest indication that this is to be regarded as poetry or as an allegory or that it is not to be taken as historical fact. The language is that of normal human speech, to be taken at face value, and the unbiased reader will understand it as it reads. There is no indication that anything but a literal sense is meant. Now, why is that important? Because it simply means the Bible is right. It simply shows once again the Bible is the Word of God. That being true, then the Bible's right when it talks about sin. And the Bible's right when it talks about the Savior. And the Bible's right when it mentions hell, or when it mentions heaven, and when it tells us the way of salvation, and when it tells us what God has done, and when it tells us what man must do, and when it tells us of the values and the priorities and the kind of life that we are supposed to live, when it tells us of the eventual resurrection and the coming of Christ and the judgment, when it tells us these things, it's reliable. You destroy the integrity of the Bible in the first chapter of the Bible, you don't have any reason to believe any of the rest of it, but you can't destroy it. It's there. It's irrefutable. And it's absolutely just exactly like God has said it. And when it comes to your necessity and accountability and amenability and answerability unto God, it's right there too, dear people. And you must respond favorably to it. It all has to do with the inspiration of the Bible. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ. You must repent of your sins and confess your faith in Him. You must be baptized for the remission of sins, whereupon the Lord adds you to the company of the saved, which the Bible calls the church. And you can count on it. And you can know that if you live faithfully, you have God's own promise that heaven's going to be your home. That's why even the word day in Genesis is important to us. It also means that if you've wandered away, you need to be restored and to continue the remainder of your life in faithfulness. You need to come back through repentance, confession, and prayer. As Greg leads us in our song, if you're subject to the Master's invitation, will you come?